Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Faces a choice. This is Battleground America. Here's Tara Servatius.
I love the split screen, two presidential candidates in deep blue districts, but Biden has to go, you know, where it's all controlled. Trump goes to Harlem, a place where Republicans would, you know, traditionally not venture into. What's happening here?
He's very effectively doing this split screen, and he's the candidate. He's telling America he's the candidate of normalcy, a return to the normal, the traditional. And they are the radicals, and they are the people who are crazy, and he's not. And these split screen differences, when remember he was at the rainy wake of an NYPD officer, why Biden was leveraging $26 million from movie stars and campaign contributions. Then he hit it again at Chick-fil-A, why Biden had at the White House these stars with their girlfriends' glitzy dresses as if they were at the Oscars. And if he can keep doing that, it really shows you that he's redefining the Republican Party and maybe America as a party of middle-class people. As class starts to substitute race, people are identifying more in common with their economic status than they are with their tribal affiliations. So those people you saw in Harlem are saying, I have more in common with your agenda than I do with Oprah. Or the people, I have more in common with the people of East Palestine than I do with the people on MSNBC. And if he's able to pull that off, he can win. But he's under enormous pressure, as you pointed out, Laura, and they're trying to break him psychologically, physically, financially. But if he can keep his cool and keep appealing to the middle class, he can win.
It was a remarkable press conference held outside the site of the attempted murder of Jose Alba, an elderly Hispanic immigrant working as a clerk at a bodega, Blue Moon Bodega, when a customer came in and attempted to murder him because he objected to his girlfriend not being able to steal. As punishment for refusing to die like a dog at the hands of a Democrat voter. That's what I call criminals because that's how Democrats think of them. Alvin Bragg charged Jose Alba with murder, even put him in Rikers when he couldn't meet the bond amount. Well, bodega owners went wild in New York, and eventually Alvin Bragg was embarrassed into dropping the charges. That's right. The only time they're really interested in getting you is when you fight back or you're Donald Trump. But then I repeat myself because I guess Trump, in his own way, is fighting back too. This was remarkable to watch the love for Donald Trump where there shouldn't have been any in Harlem, the deepest of deep blue places. Trump gave the press conference to point out that no less than 12 prosecutors had been dedicated to prosecuting him for a business accounting entry while criminals run wild and terrorized New York City. It was all about Democrat priorities. Trump had to campaign there because he can't leave New York. He can't leave New York because the judge in his case has mandated that he sit in court every single day for his trial, so he can't campaign against Joe Biden in swing states. It's pure evil, but he turned it into pure genius. Standing outside the bodega, I hope he does this every day, finds another, you know, site of another Democrat atrocity. I think he ought to go down to 42nd Street next to the spot of the NYPD beating at the hands of the illegal immigrant. I think that'd be perfect. But if you watch the press conference uncut online, C-SPAN actually has a version of it, you see a remarkable thing, the risk Trump took with his life to hold that briefing. You can see the barely contained fear in the faces of the Secret Service as they scramble, having no other choice but to put their bodies in between him and the crowd. Trump's up close on the crowd. And that, I call it quasi-impromptu because it was announced the day before that he would be there, but he waded into the crowd. He took incredible chances. Folks, if he's going to do this every day, this is literally risking his life to get around the media blockade. Anyone could shoot him easily from right there. And if you consider on top of that, that the FBI has charged no less than two people who were attempting to murder John Bolton and Trump's head of the State Department, Mike Pompeo, and the fact that last month the FBI announced that Iran is trying to find assassins or get assassins into America to assassinate Trump or other Trump officials. This was an extraordinary risk he took the other day. And you can see the concern on the faces of the Secret Service as they dance around doing the best that they can to keep him protected. But you could see anybody could take Trump out right there if they wanted to. And yet, what does he do? He wades into the crowd. Now, contrast that with Joe Biden from 2 days ago. The picture's up on my Twitter feed. He gives a press conference with a lot more notice in his hometown of Scranton, PA, as blue as it can get. And the room is 40% empty. It's not that big of a room. Most of what's left, you could tell because they have the microphones, is the media. Look at the contrast there, folks. Both blue areas, and yet Trump was beloved. The crowd yelling Trump, 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 and at one point singing God Bless America, a far bigger crowd than the one Biden attracted, which again appeared to be mostly media. Biden then made international news. Folks, when it goes as far as the Times of India, our humiliation is complete. Telling this bizarre story about how his uncle, who was a fighter pilot over, you know, a war zone, supposedly crashed and they never found him again because he was eaten by cannibals. It was bizarre and ultimately contradicted by a statement by Biden's own Pentagon. Look, Biden is a fabulist. If he was in my family, we'd have had a talk a long time ago about getting some psychological help. He's not well. And the entire world can now see it. He lives in a state of delusion. He is a compulsive liar. He can't help himself, no matter how he humiliates himself.
My uncle, they called him Ambrose Brosey, they called him Bosey. My uncle Bosey was a hell of an athlete, they tell me, when he was a kid. And he became an Army Air Corps before the Air Force came along. He flew those single-engine planes as reconnaissance over war zones. And he got shot down in New Guinea. And they never found the body because there used to be a lot of cannibals for real in that part of New Guinea.
Folks, if we lose this guy, we deserve everything that happens after that. I'm serious. Anyway, the Pentagon, his Pentagon, put out a statement saying, no, actually, the plane, which he was not a pilot of, he was a passenger, crashed over the open sea, not in New Guinea, where there were cannibals. Incredibly, he told the story twice this week.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All-star closer Kenley Jansen, we have a question.
What's the best podcast of all time?
Baseball isn't boring, baby.
I'm Rob Bradford, and every single day I'm sitting down with the biggest names to show you this great game is the greatest game. It's my podcast. It's my passion. It's a cause I started more than 2 years ago and is now the most prolific national daily baseball pod there is. Another fact, so jump aboard the BIB Express. Follow and listen to Baseball Isn't Boring, presented by Wasabi Hot Cloud Storage on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, my daughter's reading a book about socialism, economic policies, And we were talking about it the other day, and I said, there's one feature of left-wing governments that's always the same. You always eventually reach a point with a left-wing government where you have to have censorship because their economic policies just don't work. In fact, they cripple entire societies, eventually have taken far enough, cause starvation and mass pain. And so when the people start to realize they've been had, that socialism or authoritarianism of some kind is not going to bring them prosperity, they have to be silenced 100% of the time. And it looks like the left believes we're there. At that point, every left-wing society or society run on left-wing principles eventually reaches where censorship becomes a must, which is how we end up with this bizarre situation of Yuri Berliner resigning from NPR. He's one of their editors and a self-described liberal who wrote a 3,000-word piece complaining about how they invested so much of their time covering stories like Russia collusion and believing people like Adam Schiff, on whom they hung their entire editorial, you know, focus, only to discover later that actually Hillary Clinton made up Russia collusion. It was never real. But once that happened, he never told their audiences. Ditto, he said, for the Hunter Biden laptop. It bothered him profoundly. Well, for the sin of actually telling the truth, which apparently is not tolerated in liberal newsrooms, including NPR, he was suspended as punishment for 5 days. I just get a kick out of that. For honesty, he was suspended for 5 days. By who? Everybody's looking at the who now. It's NPR CEO Catherine Marr. She wasn't there when NPR was lying about the Hunter Biden laptop, lying about Russia collusion, which, folks, remember how big of a deal Russia collusion was? At one point during the height of it, Newsbusters documented, Russia collusion would consume an average of 60% of the coverage of the cable TV news stations, and it was fake. Folks, this wasn't a story. This was a manufactured reality. I remember the stories of people, i.e. liberals, seeking psychological help, because they were terrified. They thought they were living through an attempted coup, an attempted takeover, an overthrow of their country by Vladimir Putin. I can imagine that would be really scary if you thought it was actually happening. Again, these aren't stories. These aren't mistakes by journalists. These are entire manufactured realities that they use to control the population. And those kind of lies, those are a good thing, according to Catherine Marr, the woman who suspended him for 5 days for being honest about NPR's coverage. And now you can see why. This is her during a TED Talk a couple of years ago on her philosophy while she was the CEO of Wikipedia. Folks, that's supposed to be a resource for facts, except she says the truth is not maybe what we should base reality on.
That perhaps for our most tricky disagreements, seeking the truth and seeking to convince others of the truth might not be the right place to start. In fact, our reverence for the truth might be a distraction that's getting in the way of finding common ground and getting things done.
You can practically hear the clicking of her jackboots. She's literally flat out telling you the truth is a problem because we can't get the consensus that we need. So we're going to make up the lies because we know best what society should be told. This is incredible. But folks, you're getting to actually hear for once how they think inside these newsrooms, these liberal talking heads. And who should come up with the truth? Well, she told us that too in a separate interview with a comedian in which she explained that she censored during the pandemic for the government. So the truth should come from the government, even though she knows it's not actually the truth. But she's willing to censor people actually telling the truth for the common good. She even went so far as to say that the First Amendment was a problem. She strongly supports it for platforms, i.e. Wikipedia, or I guess the NPR website, but not for individuals that I guess would criticize the lies they're telling. This interview got slightly garbled, but you could hear what she's saying here, and it's horrifying. For her, other people having First Amendment rights is a problem.
The number one challenge here that we see and is, of course, the First Amendment in the United States is a fairly robust protection of rights. And And that is a protection of rights, both for platforms, which I actually think is very important that platforms have those rights to be able to regulate what kind of content they want on their sites. But it also means that it is a little bit tricky to really address some of the real challenges of where does bad information come from and sort of the influence peddlers who have made a real market economy around it.
Notice she doesn't say where does untrue information come from. It's bad information. What would bad information be in Catherine Marr's world? Truth, like the kind Yuri Berliner told about the editorial decisions at NPR, which involve no truth. Meanwhile, a remarkable article by Bloomberg publishes one bombshell after another about the reality of the economic situation in the United States of America. The headline is IMF, International Monetary Fund, steps up its warning to the U.S. over spending and ballooning debt. The IMF is a left-wing globalist institution. It will lie to you until it can't lie to you anymore. And the fact that they are saying we've got to stop borrowing, we've got to stop printing money, is a real eye-opener. Quote, something we'll have to give, the IMF warned in a report. Here's what they essentially say. The first bombshell, you know that great stock market America has had, you know, the growth in the GDP? Yeah, it's fake, they admit. They don't use the word fake. You've got to parse through what they say. But what they're actually saying is it's the result of running the printing press and borrowing. It's the result of chunking dollars into the economy, not the result of actual economic activity. And they even say it's great. It's wonderful. They love it. And it needs to stop now. Why? Because they basically say if it doesn't, not only will Americans not be able to afford to borrow things or own homes, nobody else will in the world either. Because that money that we print, it doesn't just stay in our borders. It sloshes out into the world economy, and it's driving worldwide inflation. The U.S. can't keep doing this. And the numbers are astonishing. Debt held by the public is expected, they said, to double in just 10 years. Up 97% from 2023 to 2033. That undermines long-term fiscal and financial stability in the U.S. and around the world, they say, by ratcheting up global funding costs. Washington's overspending, the report says, risks reigniting inflation and undermining long-term fiscal stability. In other words, they're looking at us and going, okay, guys, you can't do this much longer. Again, this is a left-wing globalist organization. And yet, they sound exactly like the 15 to the 19 members of the GOP that still give a damn in Congress about spending. And everybody ignores them. They sound exactly like the Republican Freedom Caucus. But here's what's nuts. There's nobody right now in power on either side of the aisle that will listen, that will give a damn, that will even entertain this argument seriously. And it's remarkable that it comes to us in a Bloomberg article. I'll attach the link in the podcast description. And it comes from the International Monetary Fund. What does that mean? We cannot continue this much longer. And we're going to do real damage if we keep borrowing and spending the way that we are.
Battleground America with Tara Servatius. Please subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Share with friends, family, and other free thinkers. Thanks for listening.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.